Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, Tuesday, April 21st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 152, the first paragraph that begins with, "We have shown how," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kim T., who will be reading the 12 steps, Courtney M. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Dawn B., Kara L., and Ellen D. The share ID for yesterday, Monday, April 20th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,472. And for this morning's April 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,477. That's 14,477. Our newcomer greeter for today is Wendy B., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Kim T. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. Good morning, all. This is Kim T., Denver, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of OA. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service. Have a great day.
And thank you, Kim T. Courtney M., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, this is Courtney M., recovering compulsive overeater in Southwest Florida. The 12 traditions. 1, our
Courtney, we seem to have lost you. Are you still there? I'm going to press star 1.
Sorry, it cut me out for some reason. Let me try that again. The 12 traditions.
Okay.
1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Sorry. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for bearing with me, and thank you for letting me do service.
And thank you, Courtney M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our Big Book. We're on page 152, the first paragraph that begins, "We have shown how." And good morning, Dawn B., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. We have shown how we got out from under. You say, yes, I'm willing, but am I to be consigned to a life where I shall be stupid, boring, and glum, like some righteous people I see? I know I must get along without liquor, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? Well, it's a nice paragraph there. And the first sentence, we have shown how we have got out from under. That reminds me of this trap that I've seen that can be made in the woods with this big, huge, heavy rock and a little tiny stick, you know, balancing it in a upright in a position that is very precarious. And if an animal walks underneath and bumps the stick, then this huge, heavy rock falls down on top of them. And that, for me, just is an image of the disease. We know that it's permanent, it's progressive, and it's fatal. There is no way out from underneath it, except it's hopeless, as we find out in the doctor's opinion. There's no way out unless we put down the food and accept the spiritual toolkit that's laid at our feet by those who have gone before us. And the only way out is through working of the steps. And the only way out is through accepting spiritual help. And then it goes on to say, you know, understanding that that's the predicament that we're in. You say, yes, I'm willing. And then the word but. So, you know, I remember myself coming into the program. Yes, I'm willing to do this simple program, but I'm terrified, or but I have, you know, all these views of what life will look like if I give up the food, and that does not seem doable. I thought for a long, long time while in my disease, there's no way I can possibly do life without this food. I felt I would die if I didn't have the food. If I didn't have my binge foods, I would absolutely die. I would not be able to do this life. I would not be able to handle life. That was how I made it through. It's how I tried to escape from reality and numb myself out so I just didn't have to feel anymore. And so very clearly, you know, when I start working with people, you know, as sponsees, yes, I'm willing, but often I hear that they're just absolutely terrified to give up the food. I mean, they can't imagine being able to do life without their stash of food, without their binge foods. And I totally can relate to that. Absolutely. And I've heard it said that this whole chapter of Vision for You was written in April of 1939. And it's to answer the question, what will my life look like without compulsive overeating? That's the question that this whole chapter is meant to answer. What would it be like? Because when we're first coming in, we just can't imagine how it would be possible to do life without our comforter, without our escape hatch, without our, you know, take me away solution that we have had to just being able to handle life at all. And we're going to get that answer. So thank you very much for allowing me to share my path.
And thank you, Don B., for getting us started this morning. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on the first paragraph, page 152?
Michelle.
Janice P.M.
Michelle, Janice P.M.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie M.
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Roz G.
And Roz G. Okay, let's stop there. That's a great lineup. Okay, I have Michelle, Janice PM, Jordan L, Anne Marie M, Elaine B, and Roz G. So Michelle, I didn't get the first initial of your last name, but go ahead, if you could give us that and go ahead and share, please.
Good morning. Michelle J from Arkansas. Golly, you know, nothing is new underneath the sun, is it, ladies and fellows out there? Stupid, boring, and glum. That, like everybody, that just stuck out to me big time today on all the different meetings. And I got to thinking about the mind-altering substances in the food or whatever mind-altering substances that I used in my life. And I was thinking, I was stupid. When I'm underneath food, I was numb and I was really clueless and life was like in a haze and I wasn't really seeing anything clearly. And I was boring because my mind had started becoming cloudy and it was dull and I created less and I sure dreamed less. I kind of gave up on life as life went on. The more substance and the more life hit me, the less I became. And was I glum? Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, I was always unhappy deep inside. And all the mind-altering substances that I used, it was just like a Band-Aid. It would just cover up this festering wounds of life, and it would always fall off. Man, a little bit of water hit it, that Band-Aid came off. So now instead of numbing, underneath OA and underneath visionaries, and I'm becoming a new person. You know, I am gaining wisdom. I'm not dumb anymore. I'm actually gaining wisdom in life, how to deal with things, how to have relationships. And instead of being boring, I'm being more creative than I've ever been in life. And I'm hoping again, and I'm dreaming about the future again. I'm waking up. And instead of exuding glum, which I did not realize underneath the food or other substances, I was very glum. I am becoming less needy. I'm more secure. I'm finding happiness in life. I'm understanding my own value, and I can live in my own skin. I'm okay with me. For the first time in life, I'm becoming okay in me, because I'm recovered and still recovering every day. And the more, you know, I lived underneath the influences, I became lifeless and hopeless and friendless. But now I just want to thank all of you and Vision and Bill up in their heaven somewhere, because I'm at 59 years old, becoming a new creature and enjoying life again underneath. So anyways, yeah, underneath other substances, I was stupid, boring, and glum. But my whole life and my personality and me, my mind, I'm changing. And with that, I hope that brings hope to anybody out there. It's real, it's true, and it's yours if you want it. And with that, I ask you to all have a blessed day. Thank you, all the best.
And thank you, Michelle J. Okay, Janice PM, it is your turn, followed by Jordan L.
Well, thank you so much. My name is Janice PM, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. This chapter is really something. This chapter, if you want to tell your story, this is the chapter, besides Bill's story. You know, they talked about, you know, what's going to happen in the future for us, for you, for me. Well, I'm on the other side as a recovered compulsive overeater. As these writers were, they're telling it how it was and telling us, like the last person said, hope that this is going to happen to you. You know, you just have to hang in there. You have to just follow the directions of this vision of getting on the other side. It says here, we have shown how we got from under. Well, the people that wrote this book were, you know, alcoholics, and they have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Can you imagine that? And they showed us through the book, through these 164 pages, how they became recovered, how they don't have that obsession anymore, how their life has changed. And then they say, you know, of course we don't believe anybody. I mean, I'm just talking about myself. Oh, yeah, okay. This is the promise for us, that we're going to have a different life, and we're not even going to want the food. And we're not going to, if somebody dies or somebody's ill, we're going to act differently. We're going to think differently. We're not going to have to depend upon them so much, and when they're gone, to say, what are we going to do? Because in recovery, we think differently. It's unbelievable. I know that if you haven't been recovered yet, you're going to say, that can't be. I'll always want food. Well, every once in a while, you might desire it, but you won't act on it, because a God, my higher power, whose vision this is, was for me, has changed me. And my life is not stupid, and it certainly isn't boring at my age. Sixth decade going in, and as a retired widow, living with my son, whose challenges, it is so different. Today, I am happy. I am joyous. I'm free. And I don't eat compulsively. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't go for success in a relationship. It's just unbelievable. But this is going to happen to every one of us. Once we get into this program and we follow the steps and we start trusting and believing in a higher power, which we've already have if we recovered, you're going to see the change. It's a promise. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. So this is a promise. You will not be bored. Trust me. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. Okay, Jordan L., you're up next, followed by Anne Marie M.
Hi, cool. Good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on a meeting with you guys this morning. have you a sufficient substitute? I went to a therapist years ago, And I remember talking to, I wasn't completely honest with this person, but I was paying for it myself. So I was somewhat honest with them in describing my addictive behaviors. And I remember so clearly that person sitting there and asking me that. I told them that I was trying to kick some habits. And that person sat there and asked me, like, well, have you found a sufficient substitute? And I found the question so irritating that they used those exact words, sufficient substitute. I didn't know what he meant. I had no idea what he meant by that. and then all these years later, I'm trying to get abstinent, right? This is like 2.5 years ago, and I'm trying to see what it is that that you guys discovered here, right? Like how to get abstinent from compulsive overeating. I hadn't encountered a lot of people at that time that had done that, you know. And I remember thinking, like, I remember realizing what it was that food was doing for me, and realizing the hole, like the size of the hole that was going to need to be filled in order to really do this, like in order to really stay abstinent from compulsive overeating. And I just thought there was no way. It was too big. It was there was just no way that I could find a sufficient substitute for what it was that compulsive overeating does for me, you know? Luckily, like, I'm glad to say that at that time, my world was really, really small. So from that perspective, no, I cannot see a sufficient substitute. I don't get that at all. But I did believe in what I saw in other people in Overeaters Anonymous. And so I just kind of hung in there. You know, like I just kind of believed that what they were doing was working for them, you know, and I just kind of walked the walk without really understanding the talk, you know, and I'm really happy to, I'll wrap up. I'm happy to say that I get to participate in a fellowship today that does exactly what the food did for me. It's so much more. But it takes time and patience, you know. So for newcomers, hang in there. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Anne Marie, you're up next, followed by Elaine B.
Hi, this is Anne Marie M., compulsive overeater. Through God's grace, recovered today. That question just jumped out at me. Have you a sufficient substitute? Oh, my gosh, yes. I have a more than sufficient substitute. I have this program that has brought me to a God of my understanding, a higher power, a power that's greater than any food, any compulsive bite would do for me. I went to compulsive overeating because of feelings that I was having that I didn't want to feel, and I have a loving God that not only allows me to help me with the feelings, but brings me to people to help me deal with these feelings. You know, it says, I know I must get along without alcohol, but how can I? You know, how can I deal with these feelings? How can I deal with life? This program is a way, this big book is how life, how do I deal with life is exactly what this big book has taught me. And so, surely my sufficient substitute is the God of my understanding, and just doing the work, working through the steps. There's tools that they gave me. This program gave me tools on how to deal with things and steps on how to live life. So I just love that question. So I just had to jump in and say, my gosh, yes, a more than sufficient substitute. for compulsive overeating, for sure. So I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. Okay, Elaine B., you are up next, followed by Roz G.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O., for your service and everybody on the line and for this amazing program. And special shout out to my wonderful higher power that I thought I knew, but I was blocked from. And because I was directed by the gift of desperation, I couldn't imagine living without food and more food. I found a life second to none. And so what great questions. Am I going to be stupid, boring, and glum? Like some righteous people I see, you know, if you're telling me it's a spiritual solution, boy, oh boy, some of those people that I've run into, I don't want to be like them, you know, what a boring life. And yet, boy, second to none. I would jump right to the next paragraph, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. So I'm going to jump back to page 89. This is what it says. The paragraph 2, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Boy, it used to be frequent contact with Ben and Jerry. Jerry was a bright spot in my life, but eventually it only lasted like 2 seconds. Didn't relieve my pain, solve my problems, help me deal with my anger, my frustration, my loneliness. It just made me want more. I have a disease of more. I like ease and comfort. And this this process has not only allowed those 8 promises to come true, the 8 paragraphs that we'll read about tomorrow, the 8 promises we see tomorrow, but the page 100 promise, my absolute favorite one, that's first paragraph on page 100, you know, both you and the new man, if you just came in, if you're a newcomer, if you're just listening in today and you say, you know what, food has been my solution all my life, but now it's starting to appear as a problem. I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of checking things out about, is there a better way? Is there a better life? Is there something better for me than diving into boxes and bags and getting a moment of relief and not finding it, than sitting at a table in a room full of people and only thinking about the brownies or, you know, whatever, just not knowing how or where I fit in. There is a life, and this is the promise, you know, page 100, that the things we put in God's hands come out better than anything we could have planned. So follow the dictates of the higher power, and you'll presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. Okay, before we take Roz G., just a reminder, we're on the first paragraph of page 152, and I'll be taking some more names after Roz. So go ahead, please, Roz.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the city of Palmdale, taking a walk with my dogs out here. And I was going to wait till tomorrow, but I was just a lot of silence. I thought, okay, I'll share today. And I thought, wow, I'm going to have to live without macaroni and cheese. How am I going to live without macaroni and cheese? How am I going to live without chocolate cake, double-layer chocolate cake, when I go to Disneyland and I go to my favorite restaurant? How am I going to live with all those candies? How am I going to live without them, I mean? How am I going to live without the Shamrock Shake at McDonald's in March, or the Starbucks chocolate chip cappuccino? How am I going to live without all that? You know, that may sound funny, but you know what's not, what was not funny? I was emotionally attached to those things. And as I did my step work, I found out that those things brought me joy, because I had no other joy. Well, little, because I didn't value relationships, gratitude for things that I have. Sure, I had all kinds of relationships, but I did not value them. I valued me, myself, and I, and the food that I could put into my mouth to make me feel better. But as I was listening to the shares and I was thinking of sufficient substitutes, which there are many, my dogs, my garden outside, my wonderful home, everything that's close by, the dog park, which is just a walk away from me, and the clear blue sky. I live in the high desert, so we don't have a lot. We have a lot of sunny days here, so I get to see the sun a lot. And I was thinking about the OA birthday party and the dance. You know, every Saturday night there's a dance. Every year, I mean, when they have. And there are people out there jam-packed on that dance floor, letting it all hang out, dancing their butts off, having so much fun. That is not glum and that is not boring. There's so many fun things to do in life. And when I let go of all the junky food that I ate and I focus on what's really important and what my values really are and the relationships that I can cherish, I certainly have a sufficient substitute. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Roz G. Okay, if you have not shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to hear from you. We're on page 152, the first paragraph, and who would like to share?
Darian.
Wendy B.
Okay, who was before Wendy B?
Eileen.
Yep. Darian K. Alicia.
Darian K, okay. Okay, hold on. I have Darian K, I have Wendy B, I have Ellen, I think she was a B also. Who came in after Ellen B? That begins with an
Eileen.
Eileen. Oh, I got you, Eileen. Eileen, is it Eileen B? Okay, I think it's Eileen B. Okay, and I can take a few more.
Eileen.
Kim
R. Oh, you all came in at once. Sorry.
Kim G.
I got Kim G.
Santa
and somebody R.
Santa H.
Shelly. Is that Shelly?
CR.
CR. Okay, let's stop right there. I'm sorry. I'm so happy everybody wants to share. It's so exciting. Okay, I have Darian K, Wendy B, Eileen B, Kim G, Shelly CR, and Santa H. And if I have those incorrect, you can correct me. So go ahead, Darian K.
Oh, good morning. This is Darian K, recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts.
And can you, excuse me, Darian.
Yep.
Can everybody check? Someone's making a lot of racket in the background. Just make sure you hit star one. Okay, go ahead, Darian. Thanks.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, Darian K in the Berkshires, Massachusetts. And so grateful to be on the line today. Yes, I was thinking, you know, what a false sense of pleasure the food gives us, right? And it's so quick. I feel like alcohol at least lasts a little while. You know, you get a buzz or whatever, and, you know, if you drink more. Although I was, you know, when I was heavy, I had to drink a whole lot to feel anything. But with the food, you know, the taste is on your lips or on your tongue, and then you swallow it, and then you have to take another bite. And it's just so minimal, you know, the pleasure. And then for me anyway, the feeling of remorse and guilt, or in my brain wanting more, but, you know, not wanting to look, you know, like a fat pig or whatever, and just some mental, you know, gymnastics that go on in your head about, should I take more? I really want more. I shouldn't have more. And then again, that feeling of just being fat and ugly, and it is not fun. It is not fun. So, you know, it's really a false sense of pleasure for me when I was in the food, you know, and I, when I went to, you know, festivities and things, you know, if I was focused on the food, if there was, you know, I wasn't being, you know, happy and cheerful, you know, I was surely, you know, kind of being the glum person that's worried about getting enough or whatever, or seeing, or, you know, going and trying all these different things. The food focus just clouds us of the joy in life. And, you know, today I have clarity. Today I have peace and neutrality around the food, which is a miracle. I mean, I still consider it a miracle after all these years, 33 years, because I can take joy in other things. You know, I like Charles usually says we're not a glum lot here. You know, we're not. I went to that convention and I had so much fun with so many people. It was awesome. We just look for the joy in life and rely on, you know, the fellowship, which I know they talk about in the next paragraph, to give us that that wonderful sense of humanity and connectedness. And so for that, I am just so grateful that I have the right vision, right? This is a vision for you, and this is, right, the paragraph is a vision for you. The chapter, rather, is a vision for you. This is a vision. My vision is clear. Thank you. My vision is clear today. And, you know, I'm going to keep my eye on the prize, which is the fellowship and all of you. So thank you so much for allowing me to share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Darian Kay. Okay, Wendy B., you're up next, followed by Eileen B.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I can really relate to, you know, being stupid, boring, and glum, you know, when I was in the food. But this morning, what's standing out to me is the words, like some righteous people I see. And so I looked up the word self-righteous, and it's having or characterized by a certainty, especially an unfounded one, that one is totally correct or morally superior. And that was me. You know, I have that defective character of feeling morally superior and self-righteous, you know, thinking I'm better than others because I work a program. You know, God has had me, he was shining his light on this area the last time I did my fourth step. And so now I get to recognize and lay down my arrogance, you know, and choose humility. I get to work my program so it's an attractive message and not an offensive one to those around me. You know, I can see people look at me and think, you know, I don't want to be like her. You know what I mean? Because I was just so arrogant, and they don't want what I have. And, you know, so now I get to be just one among many, you know, not promoting myself, not needing accolades. I just get to choose humility. And then people can want the recovery that they see. And I pass.
And thank you, Wendy B. Or yes, Wendy B. And Eileen, is it Eileen B? Eileen is your first.
Good morning, it's
B?
Eileen M.
Oh, Eileen M. Okay, so we have you up, and I think I have Kim G after that. So go ahead, Eileen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry. This is Eileen M. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I'm looking at the first sentence where it says, we have shown how we got out from under. And, you know, I'm so grateful because, you know, to find this phone line, because I also, the word therapy was mentioned earlier, and I also tried to recover using therapists. And I thought, well, if I only find the right therapist, I'll be able to stop eating compulsively. And that really never worked. I couldn't figure out why that wasn't working. So, you know, when I got to OA, I, you know, for years I was looking for a sponsor because I knew the steps were the solution. I wanted to work the steps. And the face-to-face sponsor, or the face-to-face meetings that I had, the sponsors were very, I don't know, kind of really hung up on the food plan. And the food plan was really talked about a lot, and the tools were talked about a lot. And, you know, I did that. I did what they suggested, but it wasn't working. And it wasn't until I got on this line, I found a vision for you, that I found a person in whom the problem had been solved. And she said, here are the instructions. You know, she told me that I was blocked from a higher power, and that's why I wasn't getting better, wasn't able to put down the food for good. And so I followed the instructions that she gave me and, you know, was told that it was a spiritual solution. like what was said, you know, and the steps for me, that was the only way out of this. And I'm very grateful. And thanks, everyone, for being on the line today. We'll pass.
Thank you, Eileen M. And I think it was Kim G, followed by Shelley CR. Was it Kim G or Kim somebody else?
It's actually Kim T.
Okay, go ahead, Kim. Thanks.
Hi, this is Kim T, recovered compulsive reader in Denver. You know, I had to laugh because what came to me in this paragraph was people were sharing, people were saying, like, how am I going to live without the food and specific foods? And I definitely thought that. Then that song came to mind, How Am I Supposed to Live Without You? And that song was recorded and made popular, or became popular in 1982. And I was going through a horrendous breakup with a guy I was living with. It was awful. And it was, of course, his fault because he found somebody else. And I was binging my brains out, of course. And almost 40 years later, I made amends to that man. And what I didn't realize, what he told me was, he knew something was really wrong with me and he was trying to help me in his way. And I just shut him down. And this program, what I'm saying is, this program has opened up my eyes to, I mean, that was profound for me to hear that from him. Because I never thought about him and his side of the relationship. When we lived together for a couple of years, we had gone out off and on for years before that. I never thought about what I did to him. It was me that was wrong. He was the bad guy. He cheated on me. And I just laughed when people were talking because I was like, how am I supposed to live without you? It's a really maudlin song. It's horrible. Don't listen to it. Because you're going through a breakup and you're binging your brains out, it's a great one to just cry and cry and cry and eat and eat and eat. And life has changed so radically for me. And that's another thing that hit me. It's my life is radically different. And I am not a glum lot. And I certainly was when I was in the food because I had a one-track mind. Someone said something about thinking about brownies when you're in a meeting or around other people. And that's what I thought about. Whatever food was there, either how can I not eat it in front of people and look like a pig, or how can I get it later? Maybe it's in the kitchen, in the office, and I can sneak it, or maybe I can, my all-time favorite is go through when I'm driving home and just buy a lot of binge foods and eat them all by myself in my car. And gosh, it just, sometimes it just hits me how different and how blessed and how joyous and how full of happiness and laughter life can be. So who would have thought it out of this paragraph? So thanks for leading, for sharing, and that's it.
Thank you, Kim P. Okay, we have Shelley CR up next, followed by Santa H. Go ahead, Shelley.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. Hello, visionaries. So this paragraph jumped, the part that I think about is, first of all, when I was in the food, I was stupid, boring, and glum. So I would go, I'm a very social person, I always have been, and I would go to like parties and gatherings, and I would just be stuck at the food, shoveling food in my face. And I wasn't open to like being able to have conversations. Everything was superficial in any conversation that I was having. I was just really focused on the food, and I was so disconnected from other people. And yet, you know, coming into program, it's like, okay, I'm willing, like this isn't working for me anymore. But how willing was I to actually, you know, take the steps? I'm coming back after a relapse, and, you know, it was that part of, I didn't have entire abstinence, and I wasn't willing to be open and honest about that at the time. And I knew it, like it was in the back of me and it bugged me. But I wasn't willing to be fully honest. And then I relapsed because of it. And so now, you know, I'm practicing entire abstinence and it feels so much different. And it's funny because in doing so, some of my friends who are not in program at all, you know, by kind of, so specifically in this case, as it talks about without liquor, how might I get along without liquor? And that was kind of the last thing for me because I like to drink. But what happened is I would drink, and then not every time, but enough times, that's when I would like relapse because then all my inhibitions were gone. And so when I shared that with other people and stopped drinking completely, it turns out like other friends of mine were sharing how they had been thinking about that. And then they decided to do that. And, you know, the reality is we are able to have much better conversations and more real depth to our relationships. And it's so beautiful. And that's what I've gotten from this program. So many things, one amongst many. But all of that comes from my higher power because I wasn't ready. And I asked for willingness from my higher power because I knew I didn't have it. And all of a sudden, like, it just changed. It just completely changed. And that wasn't me at all. It was my higher power. So I have definitely found a sufficient substitute, many sufficient substitutes within this program, within my connection with my higher power. And I see that on a daily basis. So I'm very grateful to be here, very grateful to be a part of this program. And I will pass. Happy 24 hours of abstinence, everyone.
Thank you, Shelley CR. Okay, Santa H., you are up next.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you all who make this meeting possible. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater calling in from New Jersey. And I really enjoyed the shares, and I was like thinking, wow, what do I have to say? But as I was listening to these beautiful shares, what came up for me is that, you know, where it says, shall I be boring and lump, boring, stupid, boring, and glum like righteous people? I see that all for me as character defects. You know, righteous people have character defects too. Ooh, wow. It took me a long time to really learn that one. And so, you know, the book here says we have a way out. We have a way to get out from under. And for me today, that is doing step 10. Because these character defects that this book talks about, yeah, they still come up for me. And I work them through. It's like, you know, this is what we call a program of action. And so I call step 10 my emotional discipline. I enjoy step 10 and 11 together. And I, you know, today I look at my emotions and realize I have positive qualities and I have liabilities and I have assets. And the whole goal is to get my liabilities lined up with better assets each and every day. And so, you know, I look at my feelings today and say, it's okay. You know, I'm present with them. I explore them. And without turning to my alcoholic substances today to allay them. And so today, my emotions, I'm not running away like a little child scared or flee. And I face them today. I step forward, not back, to the situation that I'm going through. And I take action for doing that 10 step and really look and see what my part is in there, where I'm being selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. And then I list my character defects. You know, I really look at those character defects that I have and look at what could be the assets to them and pray to my higher power to please remove these character defects from me and replace them with something else that is more positive and more in line with my God would have me to be. And so, you know, for me, you know, I'm grateful to be in this program. I think being on a vision for you, I always feel love and peace and happiness when I'm here and life is great. But I have to say, life is not always great for me. You know, I have problems, and I have to work through them. And those character defects do come up for me, and I'm grateful to be an imperfect human being, but progressing. And thank you for allowing me to share, moderator. Thank you for hearing me this morning. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Santa H. Does anyone want to do... Well, no, we better stop because otherwise we're going to go too far over. Okay, so we're going to stop at that share. Thank you so much. But the meeting is not over. So I just want to thank everyone who shared this morning and everyone who made this meeting possible in doing service. Kim T., Courtney M., Don B., Kara L., Ellen D., Wendy B., Leslie M., and Elaine B. Thank you all for your service this morning. And thank you all for your beautiful shares this morning. So... if you'd all stay on the line after the Serenity Prayer so we can meet newcomers and hear important announcements. So if you'd like to press star 1 to unmute, and we'll say the serenity prayer together.
Kathleen, did you want me to read the vision for you at the end?
Oh, I am so sorry. Thank you. Yes, please go ahead, Ellen. Thanks for keeping me on my toes here. Go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.